Should we just sack this in and become hairdressers? It feels a lot less painful.
It's more secure.
Yeah.
AI will never replace hairdressers.
Hopefully. I need a balayage, Dan. Do you know what that is?
I haven't got a clue.
See? We both know different things.
What is a balayage?
It's like a hair colour. You know, it's light at the bottom, a bit brown at the top.
Okay.
We can have matching if you want.
Okay.
We're back for another episode of The Turnout with me, GK Barry. And what a time to be alive. The general election is just days away and we can finally see the finish line. But before we go on, I wanted to give a big thanks from me. Last week, we spoke about how important it was to register to vote and you listened. A record number of you registered to vote, which is a huge achievement and is amazing. So this pod is already working. Thank God for that. Now it's just the easy part. Voting on July 4th. We have had a lot of different voices on the turnout so far, but our guest today is Lord Vasey. He is a former Tory MP, used to work in government under David Cameron, and is now a member of the House of Lords. Ed Vasey, you are my first Lord that
Oh, really?
I have ever met. Yeah. Does that is that like a cool title for you? Do you slip that in when you meet people?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
I would. I would be going to my local Tesco and on my club card it would say... What would like
Miss,
the woman version?
Baroness, you'd say.
Baroness
you
GK
are Baroness
Barry.
Grace Barry.
It has a ring to it.
Yeah, Baroness Barry.
Any, oh, I like
there
that.
There may be a Baroness Barry already. But you're right, it's quite interesting. People have this verbal tic where when they meet you, it must be a middle-aged thing. People always say, you know, Mr. So-and-so. And they always say Mr. Vasey. And I won't say, well, no,
yeah.
It's Lord Vasey.
What is the point of having the Lord if
exactly.
people aren't going to say it?
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll back you on
that. It's quite embarrassing. But I'll just say, look, I'm sorry, but it's Lord Vasey.
In the most humble way.
Yeah.
So people that may not know, you used to be in the government and now you work in the media like me.
Well, I wouldn't say I work in the media. I've got a sort of nice gig with Times Radio.
Love that.
Can I promote Times Radio
Absolutely.
On here?
Absolutely.
So it sort of happened by accident. They had me on a lot of their shows as a political commentator and then they said, would you like to guest present a programme?
Yeah.
Which is really exciting. And I always grew up listening to speech radio. You want me to do my kind of William Hague bit. I used to go to sleep with the radio on. And I still can't sleep unless the radio is on.
You need people chatting in your ear.
Chatting. And so the chance to present my own show was just fantastic.
Absolutely.
I was thrilled. And it's every Friday night between 7 and 10. Or you can listen at Catch Up on the app.
Go on. I love that. I need to start doing this. I'm bad at that. That was sensational. So as you probably know, young people are least likely to vote. Out of all age groups, right?
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I've tried to do a bit of research.
Okay.
Because I know that you wouldn't want me to come unprepared.
God
so first of all, I think I'll say something that might be slightly sort of, controversial is a bit of a grand word to say. I'm not that fussed about young people not voting.
Brilliant.
I think there's a lot of kind of patronising stuff from people like me, middle-aged people saying, it's a terrible thing that young people aren't voting. The world is, you know, going to the doghouse because young people don't vote. It's a tragedy. I think we live in a democracy. It's people's right not to vote if they don't want to. I'm not in favour of, like, compulsory voting that they have in countries like Australia. I think you get to vote for who you like. You get to vote Tory or Labour or Lib Dem. You get to vote Monster Raving Loony. You get to vote Count Binface. I've canvassed people who make a point of going to the ballot box to spoil their ballot paper.
Yeah.
Every election they go and they spoil their ballot paper because they don't like politicians. So it's an amazing thing to get pompous for a bit. It is an amazing thing that we live in a democracy where we have the right to choose who rules us. That is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have the right not to, to just check out. So that's the first thing I kind of wanted to get off my chest. I don't think it's like a crisis.
Yeah.
Then I thought maybe there's a thing about agency. So I thought this was quite interesting when I was doing research that if you think about what people were like in the 50s and 60s, you know, a lot of people left school quite young.
Mm-hmm.
University was pretty restricted. Only a very few people went to university. So people were kind of out in the world of work when they were 18, 19, 20. So they were doing things like getting mortgages and stuff. And at that point, you're starting to get invested in the kind of decisions that politicians make. So you may be more likely to vote. Having said that, I haven't checked what the voting figures were in the 60s. Now people kind of, you know, they're at university.
Yeah.
They find it difficult, obviously, to move out from their parents' place, for example. Much harder to get housing. So there's less kind of investment in the future. That's one theory about why young people don't vote. I'm on a bit of a...
as you should be.
Feel free to break it up. But my other thought was voting isn't the only way to express your opinion.
Yeah, we've got a lot of different outlets for that now.
So people, young people, it seems to me, are very motivated by lots of issues, but they express themselves in different ways. You know, they're very motivated by things like climate change and sewage in the sea and all this sort of thing, but they're motivated by international issues like Gaza. So they demonstrate, they speak out, they commentate a lot, and voting is just one way of expressing your view. And you can get your point across to the elected representatives in other ways as well.
So a lot of people that I've spoken to, a lot of them, they don't want to vote for a lot of different reasons, but also because they can't relate to a lot of politicians that are there. Like, I know, for example, you went to private school, you have a coat of arms. I don't know what that means. It does sound quite hefty. Do you think that that can be off-putting if they can't relate to anyone political?
Yeah, 100%, obviously. I think in every walk of life, whatever career you choose, you want to see people that look like you doing that job.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't think that job is for me. So when I was the culture minister, I did a lot of work on diversity in places like this, places broadcasting and TV and film. And there are lots of stories that aren't being told in TV and film because the people who write those stories come from quite a narrow background. So all of that has to change. It's the same with politics. And to give politicians their due, whatever you think of David Cameron, the Prime Minister 10 years ago, he worked quite hard to get different people to become Tory MPs. There are a lot more women in Parliament now, a lot more people from diverse backgrounds in Parliament now. So hopefully more people see people who look like them, come from a similar background, and say, well, actually, okay, I could become an MP, or more likely I can relate to the person who's an MP. It's interesting. I mean, if you get a young MP like Mahari Black, who's a Scottish nationalist, she's retired now, but, you know, she got elected at 21. But it didn't make that much difference, I don't think. I didn't think people kind of rose up and said, oh, there's a 21-year-old parliament suddenly. Got to vote. I understand it all. So you all automatically, I think, become a bit other when you become an MP anyway, regardless of your age. It is, I think there's a lot to do with how parliament is configured. It's an old building. It's very traditional language, quite hard to understand. Parliamentary procedure, very formal language in the debates. It's not very accessible, apart from Prime Minister's questions.
I mean, I'd be screwed, to be honest.
You would be.
I'd say in a lot of like and ands there.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah,
you'd be brought up short.
Absolutely.
You'd say, the speaker would say, can you stop saying like?
And I'd say, Your Honour, I am sorry. You don't even say Your Honour, do you? That's court. That's where I've been.
Exactly.
I haven't, just to clear my name.
You have to say the Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
Or the Honourable Member.
Oh, that feels too much. I'll say Mr. Your Honourable Member, I don't know, calling a man that.
The other the MPs, you have to call them Honourable Members.
Really? It's a bit of a mouthful. I couldn't say that after a drink.
That's what I mean.
Not that I'd be drinking there. Might be.
Well, that's it's got a drink problem, Parliament, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, join the club. young people are more likely to vote Labour.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it's a bit of a cliche, actually, because there are lots of people who think, for example, that young people in France, for example, are leaning right, might vote for the right wing in France. There's a lot of thought that actually young people like firm government, just want people to stop messing around and get things done.
Yeah.
So actually there's an element, I think, of young people being interested in voting for people of a more authoritarian bent, if I can put it that way. But it has been a cliche for years that young people tend to lean left and older people tend to lean right. And the reasons are fairly obvious that, you know, there's a terrible old quote from Churchill that everyone trots out at this point. Do you know this one?
No.
Everyone, it's a Churchill quote. I'm sure it's a Churchill quote where, you know, if you're young and you don't vote left, you don't have a heart. And if you're old and you don't vote right, you don't have a head. It's like
that's
heart
quite fitting,
And the idea, it goes back to that agency thing. The idea is if you're young and idealistic and you don't have a burden of a mortgage and a family and all the woes and burdens of middle-aged people, you vote with your heart and you're idealistic, and if only things could be this way.
And they mention pensions as well. Exactly. If I'm middle-aged, I'm going to be really looking out for my pension.
Have you got a pension?
God forbid. I wouldn't even know how to start. I know I need one.
You should have a pension. You should start a pension at 18.
Really?
Yes.
I'm behind.
You should.
I might not even make it that far
you
to get my pension.
You could put £10 in your pension every month now. And you
£10?
Would, yeah, and you would be as rich as somebody who started their pension
bill.
At
okay.
40.
Oh, sign me up. Mm. I didn't realise this.
This is the kind of fantastic content you're going to get.
Yeah,
you're going to
yeah
do
me
a
pensions.
Podcast about going, like, if people were inclined not to vote, they would now be switching off.
Yeah, yeah,
because
of
we've morphed into advising young people to get up, go out and vote and get a pension.
Do both.
What
why
could
treat
be more,
yourself?
What could be more off-putting?
Well,
I do
know.
Have a coat of arms.
Can you just quickly explain what that is?
So a coat of arms, it's a very good point, actually. When you ask to explain what a coat
I'm
of arms is,
I'm imagining like
odd.
A cape with gold, like
be,
a mare.
It could be on a cape. It could be on a cape. So
oh.
It's like a shield, a coat
oh.
of arms. So it goes back to the days of the Knights of the Round Table kind of thing.
Okay.
So you have this shield and it has... a pattern on it that says who you are.
Like a zebra print pattern?
You could
like
have
what
that.
Okay.
You could have that if you want.
Come on.
You go to a man called Garter.
Okay.
He's called Garter, and you go to him and you say, can I... You go to him at the College of Heralds.
Right.
Because Garter is the head herald. Garter, King of Arms.
You just spoke genuine Spanish to me there. I feel like I've had a bit of a stroke.
So there's this ancient office called the College of Arms, which
yeah.
does coats of arms.
Okay.
And it's headed by a man called Garter, King of Arms.
Okay.
And it's been around for like 800 years.
Right.
And it basically paints your shield.
Okay.
So you go in and you tell him about yourself and they come up with all these ideas. And you have supporters for your shield, holding your shield up.
Right.
So I have a white horse because I represented a constituency in a place called the Vale of White Horse.
Okay.
And I have... an American eagle, because
right.
my mother's American. And
okay.
they hold up my shield, which has...
Oh, so it's not even a coat?
You can put it... If you go to your local high street printer, you can get it printed on a cape and then...
Okay. Do you know what I would have on my coat of arms?
Yeah, I'd... No.
I would have a vodka cranberry on one.
Yep.
And a pair of boobs on the other.
Why?
Because I am a lesbian.
Okay.
So I think it would be fitting for my personality.
Well, what would happen would be that Garter...
Right.
You would come in and you'd say, Garter, I'm a lesbian.
Yes, and he would
I would like that
me.
Reflected in my coat of arms.
Okay.
And he might come up with some ancient Greek symbol.
Oh.
Which would be slightly more sophisticated.
I like that.
That he would suggest. But you'd have a conversation with him about it.
Okay. I'll catch you soon, Garter.
That's the fun thing.
See you with the boobs.
Well, we've got a member of the House of Lords now who's 30.
Okay.
She got a lot of stick for going into the House of Lords at 30, so that's a good example, again, why young people might be put off politics. The minute you put in somebody young in the House of Lords, everyone's complaining, what does this person know?
They thought
that's
she
ridiculous.
Was too young.
Yeah.
I'll be getting Botox at 30.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's
okay.
Why people might say it's a terrible, you know, politics is something other, because you suddenly put a 30-year-old, everyone should be jumping for joy, saying at last we've got somebody who's, you know, because the average
lethal.
Age of people in the House of Lords is about 70.
Well, they're only about, have about, what, 10 years in there? No?
Well, they go in when they've retired and they have 10
okay.
years and then they die.
Right, yes, of course.
But you're there for life, in theory.
I never
Did
knew
you not
that.
Know that.
No.
You're there for life. So if you went in now,
yeah.
you would be, you'd have a job for about 70 years.
Next serious question. Forget the boobs. When you got into government, give me a couple of things that you did that would have made a genuine difference to young people.
So I had the most fun job in government because I was the Minister for Culture and what we call the creative industries. And the creative industries cover everything from film, TV, video games, fashion, architecture, design,
yep.
all of those things that people care about. And I introduced a system of tax support for film, TV and video games,
uh-huh.
so we've now got a thriving video games industry. I got a credit in the first Star Wars film for doing that. So if you watch the first Star Wars film, which I can't remember what it's called.
Brilliant start.
And you stay for the credits right to the end, which
I
takes
will.
About 15 minutes.
Did you frame it? Is that
I
framed?
Took a photo of it, yes,
Brilliant.
And I bought the DVD. Yeah.
Do DVDs exist now?
I don't know, but I was determined at the time when
yeah.
DVDs did exist to have a physical copy of the Star Wars film.
Love that.
Yeah.
Talking of films, you were in a film called Tortoise in Love.
I was in a film called Tortoise in Love.
Chat to me about that.
It was made by one of my constituents. It was a fascinating process. I had to play myself as the MP being caught in an expenses scandal. Who would have thought? It was made by a local constituent called Guy Browning, and it taught me a lot about film, actually, because it's a beautiful film to watch. He even managed to finesse a West End premiere for it, but it was a terrible script. And I realised that actually the success of a film is about the script, not about necessarily how it's shot, but it was shot beautifully.
Really?
Yeah, it was set in a sort of, it was set in my constituency, which is quite rural, in Wantage, in a country house. It was very beautiful. It was about two people falling in love. I can't remember what the premise was.
Is there any tortoises in it?
Quite a lot of tortoise action.
Oh,
yeah.
You've charmed
in
me.
In the director's cut.
Right, come on.
slow moving tortoise action.
Well, of course, but a bit
tortoise
like
action, yeah. All the same. Hares don't get a look in.
No, they never do.
No.
So, you were elected. I'm going to watch that, by the way, when I go home tonight.
Good luck finding it.
I'm going to be on the dark web. So in 2000...
It'll be one of those YouTube films that you
Fine. I'm going to search
it.
I'm going to get a VPN and find it. So let's throw it back to 2005. I was a wee lamb, and you were elected as an MP.
Yes.
But you also stood before then and lost.
Yes.
Sorry to bring that up.
Yes.
What was that like?
So I stood in the 1997 election, which was before you were born. And
yes.
It was the election that Tony Blair won a landslide. And it was really interesting. I loved doing it. I stood in a seat that was already held by the Labour Party. There's a kind of weird psychological thing when you stand for Parliament,
mm-hmm.
where on election night you have this kind of, you dream, you know, you go to the TV studio, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and the person presenting the election night show says, something extraordinary is happening. Something amazing is happening. We're going live now to Bristol. We're going live now to Bristol. Despite the fact that Labour have won a landslide majority, there's this extraordinary vote in Bristol where Ed Vasey has won for the Conservatives, taking a seat off Labour. Because you get this, the only way you can really get out of bed is you genuinely believe that you are the one person who's going to turn it around.
Yeah.
And in fact, you also know that literally 99.9% of people go out and vote for a party. They don't care who the candidate is. That's not being rude. They want, you know, that person to be Prime Minister, that party to be in government. And then you have to go to the count. My Labour MP, you know, I'm nobody, gets up and says, the scum have been swept from the streets.
That's beautiful, that.
I think, it was like a scene from Tortoise in Love. I get in my car to drive back to London, which of course then breaks down.
Yeah, of course it
on
does.
On the M4.
Yeah.
So there is a scene, which should be in Tortoise in Love at some point, of me on the back of a tow truck, having been
wiped
out in Bristol.
Was it raining?
Raining.
Of course it was.
Tears coursing down my cheeks.
My God.
Coming back to London in disgrace. But it was a crazy campaign, because you sort of had nothing to lose. But I knew I'd lost when I was in my campaign battle bus and a mum with two kids in her kind of standard
Jesus
issue Volvo
wept. Yeah.
Drove past and her hand came out of the sunroof. I thought she was going to give me a little wave of encouragement.
She put two fingers up. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That was,
that was the cherry on top.
That was the end.
Any tips on how to lose gracefully?
Once I got Wantage, which is in theory a safe Tory seat, I was unlikely to lose my seat. Mm-hmm. And I never expected to win Bristol. But I think if you lose a seat that you've been the MP for, it's really painful, because you do take it personally. Because again, going back to that point of 99% of people are voting for a party, don't take it personally. They've just decided they want the Tories out. You, unfortunately, are a victim of that. You do take it personally because, again, kind of contrary to popular opinion, most MPs do work really hard. They have massive contact with their constituents. You are the point of last resort for a lot of people. Housing, I need an operation, I need help with my kid or whatever. And you help a lot of people. And you build up, obviously, really personal commitment to your area. And then suddenly you're out like that. And the other interesting thing about democracy is there's just no transition. It's not like you're working for a company, I'm so sorry, we've got to make you redundant, we're giving you 3 months' notice.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're out. You were the MP, well, you're not technically the MP, but you're effectively the MP on Thursday. On Friday, you're nobody. I mean, there's a bit of, you know, it's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, it could be a bad thing, but, you know, obviously when you're the MP, there's an element of being the big I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to lots of events and people want to talk to you because the MP gets stuff done. Suddenly nobody wants to talk to you. They want to talk to your opponent. I mean, it's quite, I had a bit of it when, so I was the candidate in my seat in Wantage for 3 years. So I was the Tory candidate. I was taking over from a Tory MP.
Mm-hmm.
And this Tory MP worked with me for 3 years, hand in glove. We spent every Friday together. And after 3 years of working with me, he defected to the Labour Party. That's how good I was as a colleague. And so the next day, the Labour candidate spent the day with him. And that was one of the most painful.
That was like
proper rejection. That
an
was like
affair.
Seeing your former partner out with their new lover. It was really painful.
Wow. I never thought of it like
that. It was hard. That's a good point, actually. It's exactly what it's like. You would say, represent a seat for 10 years, and then you're out on the Friday. There's not even a painful, protracted breakup. It's just gone.
Yeah.
And the next day, they're with someone else. That person is doing your job right in your face. That's quite painful.
Yeah.
It was a bit like when I got sacked as a minister. That's the closest
parallel. Had a lot of dark days currently, is what I'm hearing here. Are you on the up right now?
No, I think what this is about therapy.
Yes.
And you're not paying me, but I'm paying you. So it's free.
You carry on.
Being sacked as a minister is quite brutal. You get rung up by the Prime Minister, told you're surplus to requirements. And then, I mean, Matt Hancock was my successor.
That's even more violent. That is muggy.
So, Matt Hancock is then the minister. And, of course, all the people who thought you were brilliant are just off to see Matt Hancock. Who are you again? Remind me of your name. So that's quite painful.
Wow. Should we just sack this in and become hairdressers? It feels a lot less painful.
It's more secure.
Yeah.
AI will never replace hairdressers.
Hopefully. I need a balayage done. Do you know what that is?
I haven't got a clue.
See? We both know different things.
What is a balayage?
It's like a hair colour. You know, it's light at the bottom, a bit brown at the top. We can sort you out one if you want.
Is that what you've got now?
No, I am a bleach blonde. Bit of a root going on. That's only because I'm too lazy to get it re-bleached.
But you're thinking of moving to a balayage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unsure. For winter.
Oh, okay.
We can have matching if you want.
Okay.
Anyway.
My hair's not long enough.
We can get you some extensions. Come on now. I've got an answer for everything. Lord Ed Vasey, my liege, baron, it has been a pleasure. I don't know what liege means, but it sounded right.
Yes, it sounded good, actually.
Thank you. Thank you so much to Lord Ed Vasey for joining me on The Turnout. If you want more info on how to vote, when to vote and where to vote, head to the KISS website, kissfmuk.com. And if you want to see some fun behind the scenes, head to KISS's socials at KISSFMUK.